The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kit Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. Mm. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Picture this. It's blazing hot outside and you need to head to work. You get into your car and turn on the AC to get the cold air pumping as soon as possible, but it doesn't work. Instead, blowing hot air out of your vents and directly into your face. No, your car doesn't hate you. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the air conditioning system, and there's an easy all-in-one solution that will restore your cold air in no time.
There's no need to go to the shop and pay lots of money when you can save time and money recharging yourself with AC Pro Recharge Kits. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience. And the AC Pro app offers clear, vehicle-specific instructions to help you get the job done in less than 10 minutes.
So pick up an AC Pro Recharge Kit at any store selling auto products and confidently restore your car's cold air yourself today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Is a production of Dirty Mo Media. There he is. Come on in here, buddy. Have a seat. Hey, everybody. Glad you tuned in. It's time for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. Mike Davis, Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the Bojangle Studio. We've got a great guest today. Well, how you doing, Red?
I'm doing fine right now.
This They're is every like... week, okay, bud? Buckle in.
Yeah.
You died on that hill. Yeah. Your career died on that hill, and you were hard-headed. You're a bigger idiot. I didn't even think about it. No. You thought about it and didn't ask.
That makes me the bigger idiot.
I think so. Hey, everybody, it's Dale Jr. Welcome back to another episode of the Dale Jr. Download here on Thursday, August the 10th, 2023, in the Bojangle Studio with my co-host Mike Davis, and we've got a great guest, Shane Van Gisbergen, is coming on to talk to us about his past experiences in Chicago. We've heard a lot of rumors, Mike, about what's going on with his career and what could be happening, and he's racing this weekend at Indy, so he's back.
He's racing at a couple racetracks, not just the Indy Road Course in the Cup Series, but IRP Friday night. That's a big deal, too. So, you know, he said that he wants to come over here full time. We're going to obviously talk to him about that. But this weekend's going to be a big weekend for SVG.
Yes, we got to thank Ally for helping bring the guest segment to us every single week. Ally's just done so much for NASCAR. They do a lot for the industry as a whole. Major sponsor in the cup level. For Hendrick Motorsports, and they support us here at Dirty Mo Media and at the Dale Jr. Download. And so, again, we're going to try to make Shane an ally today. We're going to have a great conversation with him. Let's get him in the room and get started.
Five to go here in Chicago. He's going to have to be perfect.
Comes battle for the lead. Shane Van Gisbergen to the inside and to the lead on turn two. The 91 back to the inside into turn four. The crossover.
60 years since a driver has won in their series debut. He comes to the checkered flag. He's won the very first street race in NASCAR.
Experience in the crowd out here, like, this was so cool, and that's what you dream of, so hopefully I can come and do more.
Welcome, man. Right here, this is you.
Right here. Yeah. Hop down and put your headphones on.
You like it?
Man's wearing his shirt.
Yeah. Let's see it.
Yeah. He's got his Shane Van Gisbergen shirt. Loud
and proud.
So... who's pronouncing your name right and who's pronouncing it wrong? Have you been keeping tabs?
Yeah, you were pretty good.
I was good.
There's no way.
You just forgot the van every time.
I did. Yeah.
He doesn't pronounce current NASCAR drivers' names right, so there's no way he got yours right.
Yeah. Close.
So
though.
The van, is that like not a middle name or is that just part of the last
That's
name?
Part of my last
part
name.
Part of your last name.
I wore it loud here, so it's easy.
Yes.
SVG.
That's very right. Cool.
Not G, not J.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Mike. Right. Yeah. Lethart was doing the J.
Yeah.
So, man, first off, thanks for being here. You've been traveling all over doing everything, and you're a busy guy. Yeah. Thanks for carving out a little bit of time for us today.
It's no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. When did you get back into the States?
Sunday morning. Yeah,
okay. So. And you're in the middle of your season at Supercar.
Yeah. Our season's pretty long. We have 12 weekends, starts. Start of March, ends in December. So
yeah.
It's a long year, pretty spread out at the moment. But
yeah. You won. You won this past weekend, right?
Last weekend we did,
last
yeah.
Weekend. So you celebrated a little bit and then got on the airplane and come over here. What happened?
Yeah, well, we didn't celebrate too much. We had we do sponsor ride days after, so we had to take passengers the next day. So I couldn't celebrate too much, but it was good. We've had a tough couple of rounds. So.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if 11 races is actually considered a drought, but would you consider 11 race drought? Because that was your fourth win, but you had gone a few months without a victory.
Other people say so, but we've still been getting a lot of podiums and stuff. So.
Absolutely.
It's been going good, points-wise, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. So, hey, when did you start racing in Supercar?
In Supercar, middle of 2007. So okay. I've been doing it a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was 18, I moved to Australia.
Where were you? Oh, in New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah.
So what did you race in New Zealand?
So I started in Speedway and quad bikes when
I was
younger.
What's Speedway?
Speedway is like quarter midget, so like a mini speed car or midget car. And I was 8 when I started and, grew up.
What's Speedway over here?
It was quarter midget. Right?
Is that it's quarter midgets, yeah.
Is it dirt or asphalt?
On dirt. Mile track, yeah.
Yep. So when I went over there, I went in 06, I think, to hang out with Paul Morris.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, it was good times. And took a bunch of my friends, and we went to watch the Outlaws race at a dirt track, and we went over to Paul's place and run his cars a little bit, and then we went to Phillip Island for the race, for the V8 Supercar race.
Cool.
Saw the Utes run, which is this little S10 pickup truck.
Yeah, they call them trucks there, don't they?
Yeah. And the Utes the Utes are badass. They, so everything, I'm going to ramble like crazy, but everything that Australia does with cars, even like their road cars, they do really well. And so the Ute is the truck over there. It's like an S10. It's all lowered to the ground effects. It's got like a Corvette engine. They don't sell anything stripped down. They don't sell any car low options, right? Everything's got the biggest motor you can buy. Everything's got the best wheels, right? The Holden car ends up becoming the Pontiac G8 over here.
Right.
And so I bought a Pontiac G8 and then bought all the from Australia to turn it back into a Holden.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I still got it.
I was wondering if you still had it.
Hell yeah,
I haven't seen it.
It's awesome. And so I'm a huge fan of V8 Supercars and big supporter of all the things y'all do. And you remember Owen Kelly?
Yeah, yeah.
So he came over here. You know this, right, I'm sure. But he came over here and lived for a while and raced our late model stock car.
That's right, yeah.
And won at Caraway.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, a couple things go just the right way for him, and I think he'd still be here racing in Xfinity or Cup Series.
It was only a couple of years ago he'd still come and do the Xfinity stuff. I gave him a call before Chicago just for some tips and
how
it all works. Oh, just he sort of just told me how to fit in, just all the terminology, and there's no understeer or oversteer here. It's loose and tight.
Yep.
And just small things like that. And
yeah.
Yeah, he loves it here. He was full encouraging me to go and do it.
Where
yeah.
is Owen these days?
He's in Tasmania now? Where is he?
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Marcus
really?
Ambrose is Tasmania.
Marcus yep. is in Tasmania. Yep. Well, anyways, I went to Australia in 06, I think. Chevrolet was building the new or testing the new Camaro that would, you know, the old Camaro. But back then it was the Camaro was coming back. And they're like, man, we want you to go to Australia. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm taking all my buddies. We got Mr. H's plane. It's a big, giant plane. Flew about 10 of my buddies over there. Soon as we land, Owen's there. Don't know Owen. Crusher and Paul Morris are like, you need to, you know, Owen's going to show you around as soon as you hit the ground. And so we had a blast, man. It was a great time. And so when I heard you were coming over here, and obviously Marcus had a great, you know, run with us in NASCAR, and he was big. He was really helpful in getting me that trip to Australia and make sure I was connected to the right people.
Cool.
But we're really excited about having you part of our deal, man. To have you come over here and race. I was just excited for you to come compete. Mm-hmm. And then you went to Chicago. When you go, what did you do to prepare before you got in the car that weekend?
Pretty much as I could. I watched all the film I could. Obviously, there was nothing from that track, but I just watched Sonoma. I watched Coda first, and that was just mayhem. I was wondering what I'd got myself into.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Sonoma was a pretty good race, and you're just trying to learn how the cars race, how the drivers race, and then, yeah, getting over here, just learning the team. Did a lot of simulator stuff. And
was that helpful, simulator?
Yeah, definitely was, yeah. Okay. The track was a little different, I guess, because they didn't have the surface right yet. But it's good just to get an idea of even just how to talk to the crew chief, to talk to Darian and the engineers and stuff, just to learn how the dynamic of it all works.
Yeah.
But it was difficult. There's not much practice here. We have a lot more practice to learn a new track especially. So I think it was extra for Chicago, but still only 30 minutes or something.
Yes,
so
very brief.
Well, I mean, the thing that blows everyone's minds over here is just the change in the side of the car that you're driving on and the shifting. Yeah. But you actually didn't seem like that was the biggest hurdle, am I right?
Yeah, well, I drive GT3 cars a bit. They're left-hand drive, and my rally car last year was left-hand drive, and that was a sequential as well. So,
that wasn't as big a deal as we were impressed, though. We thought that was amazing.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah. Yeah. But it was a struggle because the NASCAR is so wide. And on the walls, the car is so far away from you. So on the right-handers especially, I struggled getting close to the walls there. And I forget the corner, but before you go up by the fountain where Chase had the accident, that wall was very hard to judge. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of people were... A lot of people are making a big deal out of heel and toe. And so, you know, before we, you know, 25 years ago, before we made transmissions that would allow you to not use a clutch to shift, right? Every driver in the Cup Series, let's say 86, 87, had to heel and toe. You had to. Yep. You'd tear the transmission, wear it out,
if you didn't.
And so, but we did it out of necessity. Whereas, and help me if I'm, you know, clean this up for me, I guess. I watched, so there was a bit of a debate about 2 or 3 or 4 years ago in the Supercar about paddles and shifting and how that would affect and take away some tools, right, and heel and toe. And so Paul put this video out driving around his course showing, like, why heel and toe is important and why it makes a driver unique and how a driver uses it to change the balance of the car.
Yep.
I'd never heard it. I never knew that, right?
Yeah. Well, we need it in our things because we have a solid axle, lock differential. So you're trying to run as much rear brake as possible to turn the car and use the brake to turn it. So you can use the clutch to take away a bit of rear brake in the straight line and stop the rear locking. And
yeah.
I could use it a bit in the NASCAR, but obviously that diff is more open. So it's not as critical, but I saw a lot of people were struggling on the bumps. You know, for me, it's just normal, but I guess it was a bit helpful. But
so if there's a lot of content in the track,
it would definitely be helpful. All the bumps, you can just dip the clutch over the bumps and it takes away all the compression. So
wow.
It does make a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it, in a braking zone that gets ripples and so forth, you know, you get a lot of content in some of the braking zones, some of the racetracks. Yeah, I was really impressed by that. I kept texting back and forth with Paul about it, and he was giving me some great information. But I felt like, you know, trying to help people understand how heel and toe, it's a habit if you're racing a car that has to be used that way with the transmission to keep the transmission from blowing up. But it's also, you know, trying to help people understand how you can affect the balance of the car, and it kind of turns the car into the corner.
Yeah, it's also what I'm used to. Like when I go and drive a GT3 car, I still right foot brake. You know, left foot's probably faster, but out of habit, it's what I'm used to braking with my right foot. So
yeah,
for this weekend in the truck, I think I got a left foot brake and loaded up. It's like it's a new skill I got to learn.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that'll be interesting, man. When you go, what oval experience do you have?
I did speedway right. When I was a kid, and then over last summer I did some sprint car stuff. So, but yeah, I haven't done a pavement one. So,
where did you run sprint cars?
At Western Springs, which is where I grew up racing. Okay, pretty cool. Yeah.
So, that's all dirt.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because I mean, you know, we got a lot of guys that are very, very good in our Cup Series that came from dirt, and they adapted pretty well. What are you worried about when you're going to IRP?
Yep.
In a truck, little bull ring, flat, odd corners, weird groove, multiple ways to get through the corner.
Yep. So I watched the race coming over here, and it doesn't look like they race with a lot of respect for each other. it's completely different, and there's no rules about it if you take someone out, really. But you got to do something pretty bad to get in trouble. But yeah, it looks like carnage and quite tough running up by the wall and stuff. But it's just going to take time. And
yeah.
I sat in the truck yesterday. And I arrived there, and the left front wheel looks like it's broken already, hanging off.
The camber.
Yeah, it's a completely different world.
Yeah.
But looking forward to trying it, seeing what it's like. And the pit stop stuff, that's pretty difficult for me. Normally, we press the button and just hold our foot flat.
So maintain the speed.
Yeah, so on I lost a little bit at Chicago on one of the stops. So I got to get better at that and just understand how it all works. And it's probably a good place to have a first race. Doesn't look too fast and too much banking, but the carnage might be a bit much.
I'm assuming you were able to do some pit stop practice, though, while you're here. Have you been doing that?
Yes, I'll do some this afternoon in the Cup car. And yeah, it's completely different. Normally, all the guys are there already waiting out for me. And the first time they jumped over the wall, it scared the crap out of me. I was locked up, and they're like, no, don't even worry about it. If you hit us, it's our fault.
Grief. It's no.
Way different. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would tell you, man, I always erred on the conservative side on my pit road speed because the penalty is really
huge,
severe, right? Having to come down pit road, and it ruins the race for you because of how competitive the fields are. So I would be fine if you were conservative if I was working on your car. But I think racing, you know, you're going to try to gain some experience on the ovals. If you're given more opportunities, you're going to take them. I can't think of a more – yeah, I could. But IRP is very challenging, as you said. Like, not only is the racing aggressive, not only are the truckers rough and tough, you know, beating on each other and stuff, but the way you get around that track is kind of wonky. You know, it's kind of weird how you drive the racetrack. And
yeah, normally – I'm always trying to hit the apex or the shortest way around. It looks like the opposite.
There's you can move that apex wherever you want at that track, right? Depending on the balance of your truck. And so it's not as straightforward as a lot of ovals, right?
Is it because the surface is better or there's more banking up there? How does it work there?
Yeah, I think it's because there is a little more banking in the top groove. And so if you need to put the right rear up there and get some turn, you know, if you need to drift up there, if your truck's turning too good, you certainly don't want to get up on that. You want to kind of hang lower and run tighter.
Okay.
Getting up underneath people, that was the hardest part at IRP for me was you can run a guy down. But then when you try to go low to pass him, he's got the momentum on the top, right? And he can make it really hard. And not getting into the corner too hard and getting loose and backing myself in the fence. That's like the common mistake at IRP is once you catch somebody and try to go pass them, is you drive into the corner and get loose under them, right? Because it's flat. And almost a little bit of opposite bank on that left front or that lower groove. And so you can get in there and get the thing backwards, and then you're backing into the fence. So
sounds fun.
Sounds pretty challenging.
Did he just fix all your nerves? Now you feel good about it?
Yeah. It does look hard to pass
It's very hard to pass.
You get pinched up pretty quick. Yeah.
And I think that's why you have to be aggressive. And, you know, people will take advantage of your inexperience, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll happen. Yeah.
So that you'll just have to, like, know that that's coming.
Give it to them back.
Yeah.
You I know, don't want to do that yet.
if you watched Coda, right, you saw a lot of those guys get taken advantage of, right? Yep. They had no idea how bonkers that entry to one was going to be on those restarts late in the race. The intensity completely changes in the third stage.
Yeah, like the start of our race was pretty cruisy at Chicago, and I let someone go, and I think it was Tyler Reddick, he let me go back, and then at the end after one of the restarts it was like a switch was flipped, and it was nuts. Yeah.
So that's another thing. Yeah. So stage one, like at the beginning of the race, everybody's cool. Hey, we got a ways to go, you know. And then stage two, it's like, yeah, we still want to survive. Everybody take care of each other. And then like stage three, it's like, screw you.
Yeah.
You know, screw everybody. And especially like at Indy. Indy's going to be very similar. Turn one to Indy is very similar to Coda, right?
Yeah.
Wide racetrack, bottleneck down into nothing.
Yeah. I think they've moved the restart zone.
They did.
Said, but I was most worried about that, joining double file restart and you get stuck on the outside. Looks like it's all over
Not
for
good.
You.
So
with a different position, it might be a bit better.
Hopefully that change in the start finish or the restart zone, moving that around a little bit, is going to improve things.
Yeah. It's exciting to watch, but being in it, you probably don't want to be on
That's
the
That's a
outside.
Great point. Yeah. So as a broadcaster, some of that is good. Like obviously you want some, you know, the stage three to be crazy. You want that wild restart. But I think what we saw at Coda, nobody wants.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Do we have a reputation for being idiots?
Oh, not idiots,
in road
but
courses.
Being aggressive. Yeah, for sure. Like every highlights reel you see, like the most, not the best one ever, I think, is that Watkins race with Marcus and Brad and Kyle. That was
that was loose, insane.
But that was amazing.
But at the same time, dude, when I started watching V8 supercars back in the early 2000s, that y'all drove the same way.
Similar, yeah. But now
the contact's way down compared to 20 years ago.
Yeah, like I got a little bump last week when someone brake tested me, propped them up, and I bumped them a little bit, and straight away a penalty. So it's completely different.
I was watching a race with you and Brody. I think it was earlier this year at Perth.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And it was insane racing. You were right on his tail. Yeah. You gave him nudge. There was some contact,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he was blocking, and that was great. But then it's like whatever mood the guy's in. Today he's penalizing, tomorrow he's not. So as a driver, you have
no idea what you can do
or not. But that Perth race it's like the most watched race, the best supercars race in years.
Sick. And it was sick.
Now they've changed it, yeah.
How much have you talked to Brody about this weekend?
Yeah, a little bit. We race a lot. On the sim together and stuff, and then every week in supercars, and he's going to be really good this
you
weekend.
Think?
I think, those cars were good there last year.
We sort of handicapped Kobayashi, you, and Brody.
Okay.
And so you're pretty aware of Kobayashi, right? And his speed, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I heard his. Have you heard about his tests?
No.
I heard it was lights out.
Where'd he test?
I don't know exactly, but I heard compared to. I guess I just heard that his speed was pretty ridiculous.
Mm.
So I watched him in some IMSA races doing the broadcast for the 24 Hours of Daytona and stuff, and the guy's a phenomenal just
Very
freak,
fast, yeah.
right? Yeah. I think he'll be good. He'll be tough.
Yeah.
Well,
I think Jensen's doing it again as well, isn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a few.
Yeah.
A few of us now.
Yes. Mm. But I think, you know, you're in a great car. Kobayashi's in a really good car as well. Brody's car I think will be good. If you put the same driver in all three cars, I think, you know, RCR is gonna be pissed at me, but I think that car is just a tenth or two off.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, the third RC.
They were pretty fast there last year, weren't they?
But things are, I don't know. It's the third car. It's not the top car. It's not the A car.
Okay.
And Brody, you know, I mean, I know he's got some oval or stock car experience. It's not gonna be completely foreign to him. And he's been running tons of sim for RCR. So.
Yep.
Maybe I'm handicapped him a little hard, but I'll be curious, I guess, as to how he'll run.
And he doesn't take any stick, so he'll be not afraid to give it back.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell
us
about it. He'll dish it out?
Oh, yeah. He's not scared, so he'll be very good. He doesn't really, I shouldn't say he doesn't care, but he's all in. It's pretty cool.
I'm curious.
He'll be good to watch.
Seems like, in my mind, though, it's like that's all Australians, all New Zealanders. Y'all are just all like that.
Willpower.
Yeah. All of y'all are the same in terms of like.
We're pretty reserved. Like the racing rules are so strict. Like you see the races here. It's nothing. We don't get that messy, I don't think.
It used to be. Yeah, all right.
do you guys feel that Shane's success at Chicago adds pressure to the Brody Kostekis and the Kobayashi? Like, do they actually now have – it feels like the Supercar Series – and I want to ask you about Supercar Series, but, like, it feels like you really elevated the Supercar Series just by coming over here and winning Chicago, right? And then I wonder if – I mean, you and I, Dale, we're sitting here excited about Shane being back in the race and Brody and all this, and I'm just wondering if there's pressure on all of those guys to kind of come in here because of your victory.
I guess there's expectation. Like, you come in and win a race, you're expected to do well at the next one. So makes it tough, I guess, on those guys because Brody's ahead of me in the championship, so – he's a good driver. He's going to be, they'll be expecting him to do pretty well. But how we go, we have no idea. This track's going to be tough. Like,
yeah.
The street circuit was perfect for me. No one knew it. I race street tracks a lot. Whereas here, they've been here the last 3 years, I think this race has been going for. They know. They got a lot more information about it. It'll be tough. And we only have 20 minutes practice. It's going to be difficult.
I think everybody said, after Chicago, they were like, well, if he comes back and he runs a track that we know, the results will be somewhat different. But to your point, man, I didn't even think about that. Like, your race, your practice will be super limited. Yeah. Everybody's going to have all kinds of experience and knowledge. But I believe by the end of the race, man, I mean, you've got it all figured out.
Yeah, hopefully.
How broad was the swing of progression from the start of the race at Chicago to the end, right? And your speed and your ability, knowledge of the braking performance and all the things.
Yeah, like I was quite weak in under braking mainly in qualifying. And then in the race, I just learned more and more every lap, particularly when it dried out. And I kind of got in a spot where I had the track to myself and just I tried some things and got better and better.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the race, I was fine. But it's just there's so many little nuances about this car and trying to learn how it works. And
yeah.
It's a pretty different tire, how it works. The tire is really good compared to what we have, but it's difficult how it works and just trying to learn. And there's no tire pressure rule here, so you're running the thing so low. And when you leave the pit lane on the low tires, it feels like something's wrong.
Around.
It's crazy, but you get so much performance from it. Mm.
So do you think you take anything from your experience here back home to help you in the V8 supercar?
There's a little bit of stuff. Like, the preparation here is awesome. Like, the cars...
The stuff you do during the week, you mean?
Yeah, the simulator stuff, driver? The preparation and the pre-race stuff. The cars here are relatively simple, I guess, but all the little details matter. Like, what the crew chief does and all the sim, the engineering, like, it's at a very high level here. And it's stuff, like, we haven't really seen before, so... My engineer in Australia, he came over with me and he learned a lot as well. So
in Chicago?
Yes, yeah. Yep. So and he was able to help a little bit with, I guess, philosophies for street circuit stuff, and he would have learned some stuff as well.
Is he back for this weekend?
No, he didn't come this weekend. So
he can't really help you at Indy.
No, well, we're racing again next week. So
who did you bring?
His name's Andrew Edwards.
Who did you bring this time?
It's just myself this time.
By yourself?
Yeah, and Ainsley, who looks after all the social side of things. Yep. But yeah, just me.
NASCAR history and heritage come alive at the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Celebrate my fellow inductees Donnie Allison, Jimmy Johnson, and Chad Knaus with their class of 2024 artifacts enshrined in the Hall of Honor. Don't miss the Ford Performance Showcase. It's a new Inside NASCAR exhibit that showcases the Ford Mustang's next-gen car through its design and innovation. The latest edition of Glory Road explores over 75 years of racing history with its cool 33-degree banking and 19 cars on display. On Mondays and Fridays, there's guided tours that take you behind the scenes with incredible stories and access to a NASCAR Hall of Fame insider. Or you can explore the hall at your own pace with the new mobile hub. It's a digital experience. Get behind the wheel of a realistic iRacing simulator. Or you can learn how fast-paced pit stops work with the Pit Crew Challenge. From the legends who shaped the sport to the new heroes earning a spot in the record books, the NASCAR Hall of Fame delivers an unforgettable experience. Book your visit to the hall today at NASCARHall.com.
The Dale Jr. Download is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
You going to any concerts this summer, man?
I am. I'm seeing a concert in June. Hardy and Kip Moore.
Love Hardy.
In Charlotte. I was so stressed getting the tickets. I'm going to be front row. I'm in the pit. When these tickets go out, man, I am... online as soon as tickets open. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, you got to act quick.
Yes.
And when you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for a business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr.
ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Dale Jr. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Everybody says very loosely that the next-gen car in the Cup Series was built and based off of a lot of ideas from the supercar. How, now that you know them both really well, are they that similar?
Yes and no. They are in some parts with the way the chassis is. So, you know, it's the same between everyone. All the components are the same, and the front and rear clips, yeah, they're pretty similar in some ways, but the weight of the car is, it's 300 kilos, I think. I don't know the conversion, sorry.
Yeah, but me neither.
It's so much heavier. The tire's much wider, and all the downforce underneath with the underbody, and whereas ours is on the top with the big wings. So the way they drive and react is very different, especially because of the spool diff we have. Like, our cars don't turn, so you're constantly trying to get turn in them, whereas these cars, it looks like you're trying to get rear grip on exit with all the power. Right. So it's very different, but yeah, I guess the overall concept is similar.
Yeah. So you're racing in the Truck Series, and what other opportunities or conversations are going on in terms of this year outside of this weekend coming up?
I think that'll probably be it for this year.
No. Come on.
I'm not too sure. I'm trying. I really enjoyed myself here. I did a few Rolex 24s and North American Endurance, and I forgot how fun it is over here. And
when did you run Rolex?
2014, I think, was my first one, and 2020 was the last one. Yep. So I did it a few times.
Okay.
So, yeah, just I love the style of racing here. And yeah, it's been a bit difficult, I guess, in Australia, or a bit different after doing well the last couple of years and the way the sport's changed. It's like, oh, it's kind of entertaining now to come here and maybe try something else.
So that's a great point. The fact that the next gen car is now independent rear diff, or independent rear suspension, the way this thing's built, much more similar to the supercar, but also more similar to anything out there in road course racing.
It's more relative. Yeah,
that's why we're seeing guys like you, Kobayashi, and other people more interested or eager to take opportunities and come run.
Yeah, well, even seeing that truck yesterday and all the bits that are on it, how they make it turn and all the technology, like, it's so foreign, it would be so difficult to come and just run those cars. Where you're right, like, the new next gen thing, so it's more relative to the rest of the world, and the independent rear end, like, it feels like a normal race car when you're driving around. So
yeah,
which I'm sure the truck's not going to feel normal. Those things are going to take a while to get used to.
Yeah, it's kind of it'll have a lot of similarities because the tire, the tire will have a little taller sidewall. That sort of low air pressure wallowing around and all that stuff's going to be there as well. But I think it'll be somewhat similar. But the truck's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. I had some good chats with Marcus about it, and he's in a similar position where he just won his 2 championships, and then, you know, the sport was a bit different and he was looking for something else. And yeah, he said it's pretty similar, our stories. And he just had to, he come over here and he just loved it.
What was his advice?
Just get over here as soon as you can. Go and give it a crack. You got plenty of years left, and just go and get amongst it. Live over here and just embed yourself in the lifestyle.
And that's your plan, right? I mean, I've seen that. I've read it recently. You want to come over here and do this full time, right?
Yeah. Coming here just opened my eyes. Like, yeah. I watched it, obviously, but never been to a race. And going to Nashville, it was a whole new world. Like, how long has this been going on? It was epic. And, like, my partner and I, we were just walking around the track, and we just walked up to the backstretch wall right on the track and just watching the cars go by. It was epic.
Like,
you know, and seeing all the fans on the fence, like parked up in the motorhomes, right on the fence. Like,
and then Trackhouse wins.
Yeah, like I obviously lived all the highs. You know, they won that race, won Chicago. I haven't seen any lows yet, but I just had an awesome time, and you know, it was.
All right, so what's your plan? We got to just go ahead and roll out the plans.
Let me ask you this: what would be the best scenario for you?
Right.
I don't think I could jump straight into the cup stuff. You need a lot of time to come here, adjust to the lifestyle, see how it all works. You know, I'm used to driving 12 to 18 weekends a year, not 36. So it'd be a big adjustment. And then learning all the oval stuff, how it all works and the routine. So I need a lot of learning time and, trying to work through it with Justin. That's who I'd love to be with. Like, the Trackhouse team is awesome. I've really enjoyed my time with them and, you know, way listening to how Justin speaks and what his plans are. It's pretty motivating and something I want to be a part of. So
yeah, I think that is the perfect scenario and situation for all the things that you're going to need to do and learn. Yep. I think that Justin's sort of vision and his ambition would really match well with what needs to happen for you.
And he's done it himself from circuit stuff. He went and did a bit of oval, so he knows what I'm going to go through. So he'll be very good for some advice as well, and he'll know that I need a bit of time and to be patient. So. Yeah. To have someone who's going to afford to give you that patience would be awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, you have a whole career going on in Australia. How do you make these decisions? When do you make these decisions?
Yeah, I think I'm working with the team now, because earlier in the year I signed a deal to carry on for 1 year at least. And then, I didn't obviously expect the NASCAR race to go so well. And it has been a bit of a struggle there with the way the series is at the moment. It's not as enjoyable. So,
what's going on?
Yeah, why?
Just the new car and stuff, and there's so much background.
What's different about the car?
They changed it, a whole new chassis and concept, and everyone's the same parts. It's very similar to here.
It sounds like Cup Series.
Yeah, delayed, but when you read all the articles from last year about the drivers' problems and stuff, it's very similar. You know, so. Yeah. But, like the qualifying there is awesome, but the racing sucks. It's so boring. Like, you're driving around at 30% trying to keep the tires, and everyone's just following each other. And all the parts are the same, and the car's got a very narrow setup window. Everyone's running the same setup, basically, and there's a minimum tire pressure rule of 17 pound. So everyone goes out on 17, they come on at the same time, drive around at the same pace, and the tire just explodes because it's running too high, and you just follow each other around. It's mind-numbing. So I come here and like the race is just a hustle the whole time. You're just driving flat out, and that's what I love.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, Paul Morris has been sort of, I guess, critical is the right word. I mean, he was very vocal, as he always is, especially after your win. He was vocal about some of the imperfections of the supercar series. I mean, was he right?
In some ways, like, I think fundamentally it's an awesome car. It's just, it needs time and changes, and it'll come, but I don't know. It's like you've gone through such a high in your career, and now it's like, I don't know.
If you're going to make a change, these are
probably now a good time.
Yeah. And all right. So you have to work. You have to figure out a way to work out from under the current contract.
Yeah, but my team is awesome.
I've heard quotes and so forth. They're like, hey, he wants to do it, we're not going to hold him back.
Exactly. And all the bosses you speak to, like, from the main one, I got a text after the race. He's like, you got to get over there next year.
So, there you go.
They're fully supportive, which is awesome. But I got to get, you know, there's got to be another driver to fill the seat. It's the best team in the pit lane. So.
Do you know who that is?
They just announced it, didn't they?
I don't think that's official. Oh. That's just gossip. Yeah.
Okay. What's the gossip?
They're saying Will Brown. And I know
he's good.
He's very good. Yeah. He's second in championship. Okay. So there's like three or four guys on the shortlist. Okay. And, you know, I know he's one of them, but they don't have anyone official yet that I know of. So, but yeah, the articles yesterday, I read them. And
Did that influence that decision?
No.
Not at all.
That gives me a bit of hope that there's someone good going to be there, and I feel better about leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. That's important, I guess. So do you, what all has to come with you? If you're gonna move over here, right?
Yep.
What are you bringing?
Just my partner Jess and our dog. I guess that's about it. Yeah.
That's it.
A couple of suitcases. We'll be away.
And you'll buy a home, I imagine.
Probably not to start with. I guess rent something or look around.
Okay.
Yeah. Dale's got some rental properties.
yeah, I do. Yeah.
Half the NASCAR Cup Series is lived with Dale's in his rental houses at one point or another.
Ross rented from us literally up until just a couple years ago. Hell, he still might. I don't know. Ross was in one of my rentals like about a mile from my house forever. It seems like
probably
about
the best
10
way
years.
To do it. Figure out where you want to be and
he could tell
what's
you
cool around here.
We're good to rent from. Yeah. he could let you know. He'll be your teammate.
Testimonial.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess Paul and Owen would tell you what it's like
hanging around
us. Maybe you don't want to come.
I've heard some stories.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Those were some good times.
They were good times.
These questions are tough because I want to ask you whether you like, you know, you're gonna think, you know, you think truck racing, Xfinity racing. How do you get this oval experience, right?
Yeah, I don't fully know.
You're gonna go drive a truck in IRP for the very first time.
Yeah, I might hate it, but
yeah,
who knows?
You might. I mean, I think you would just. I don't want you to get out and go, that sucked. Because I mean, the racing's, it's going to be frustrating, right?
Yeah, it's going to take a long time.
It is going to take a long time.
And watching Nashville, you don't see the stuff that you see on TV. Like, I was taking note of Daniel because he had to start in the back of a backup. And just seeing those guys scrapping for everything for 85th, it looked like. Yeah. And they're just dogfighting.
The racing in the back half of the field is more intense.
Yep. Yeah, it was crazy to watch. Yeah. And that was three wide, but you don't really see that.
They're all taking advantage of each other, putting each other in bad situations.
But it looked awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never wanted to, come and race NASCAR, but doing that, like, I was itching to get out there.
Yeah.
It looked like fun.
Man, it's fascinating because I think myself and I think a lot of people want to see this work. And a lot of people want to see, because, man, Marcus was awesome.
He was.
Marcus was such a great guy.
Yeah.
He was so great to have around and he was successful. He was fast.
Yeah. I don't think he ever won on the oval, but he got a lot
closer.
And he got a lot more consistent.
Yes.
Like, he was progressing every year. It was cool to follow that.
I wonder if Marcus has regrets. Maybe he's even expressed some to you. I wonder if he had something that he wished he'd have done a little differently.
I don't know.
Did he say anything like that?
Not regrets as such, but he said it was the best thing he ever did.
Is that right?
Was coming here. And
I'm glad to hear that, actually, because he was a good one, man.
Yeah.
Super talented.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or the neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Dalton, this probably sounds real familiar to you.
It does. I just bought a house last year. And you asked, why can't all this information be in one place? Well, now it is. On Homes.com, they've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history.
Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com, we've done your homework.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I find it hard to believe that Indy's going to be your last race this year. Schedule-wise, you have breaks, you have opportunities.
Yep, for sure. It's hard, I guess, with the Cup Series stuff to come in, especially in the playoffs. Like, that means so much to everyone. You wouldn't want to come in and...
That's a great point.
Yeah, like I know this weekend it's the first playoff race for the trucks as well, and not that I expect to be up front mixing it with them, but you still got that in the back of your mind that it's someone's championship. You don't want to muck it up. So if I did Charlotte Roval, for example, like you wouldn't want to be mixing it with those guys and something go wrong and you wreck someone's year. I would hate to do that. So
That's absolutely true. Talk about Bathurst.
Yes.
I want to discuss that a little bit because I believe that Mount Panorama and Bathurst, I think that that to me is the most challenging, treacherous, dangerous.
Have you been there?
Yeah. Well, I drove around it in a rental car. I've never drove a race car around it.
On the speed limit, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I've raced it a many laps on simulation and video games and all that stuff. But and I've watched a bunch of supercar racing. I know Boris went over there. Matt Neal went over there to run. And just mentioning a few guys that were sort of outsiders and how damn challenging it was for them to find pace.
It's very rare someone goes good there in the first year or two.
It
takes a long time.
It, to me, deserves to be like put up at the very top in terms of racing venues and that are the most challenging in the world.
Yep.
Is there anywhere else comparable?
Spa's pretty tough. I raced there a couple of times, and that track's pretty tough. But Bathurst is it like to do a lap around there on the limit? Like it's crazy, and all the walls on the top of the mountain, like you have no room for error. It's pretty tough. Yeah, it's one of the coolest places to put a lap down and qualifying when you have that. You get into we call it top 10 shootout. So you do your qualifying session, the whole field. And then the top 10 get into the shootout, which is on the Saturday. Qualifying's Friday night. And Saturday you have a little practice in the morning. You wait around all day. And then at 5 o'clock the shootout starts. And the top 10 run in reverse order, 10th to 1st. You get a warm-up lap and one lap to lay it down. And you spend all day thinking about this lap. And then you got to go and hit it. Like it's one of the coolest moments ever.
What's the quickest lap you've done? Because I was watching, like I saw Scott McLaughlin's lap a few years ago. I think
I've done a mid 203 in a supercar and a 201 something in a GT.
That's sick.
Yeah. But yeah, when you do that race and you got the whole track to yourself and the place is packed,
are you just holding your breath?
Across the top, yeah.
Across the top. Yeah. I mean, it's treacherous.
You get to the straight and you're just like hanging on and then have a little break, yeah.
Right.
And then you look at your reference on your dash, see if you've done a good lap or not.
You don't know till then.
Yeah. You have no time to look at it across the top.
Is there a little bit of a desire, even would there be opportunity for you to go back and still race Bathurst, even if you came over here and were doing this full time? I think, of course, schedule permitting and all that stuff. Yeah,
I think next year, maybe, if I'm doing a partial, it would be good to go and race with my current team. I'd love to do that.
Because they have multiple drivers.
They have two drivers for Bathurst. So
they'd love to have
1,000 kilometers. Two drivers. Yeah. It's about 7 hours the race.
So. Oh, my God.
Be cool to do it.
Yeah. How long are the stints? Like, how long would you be in the car?
Probably 2.5 hours in the last one. Yeah, the main guy does the whole last bit. Yeah, it's 2.5 hours or so. Yeah.
I remember driving over there in these giant fields of these purple flowers. I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Of all the things.
of all the things. It's a long drive to Bathurst.
Yeah,
it's
I guess so.
You got lots of time, Mike.
Oh, you're talking about on the way there.
Yes.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah. It's a kangaroo.
I thought you were.
Is it?
Kangaroos you got to worry about.
Yeah. We never.
In the 12 hour.
Never ran across any kangaroos that weren't in captivity, I guess.
In the 12 hour this year, in the morning stint, one ran across the track in front of me. It's crazy. Yeah. And you wouldn't want to hit one of them. Like, we've seen guys hit them, and they don't show it on TV, but you go out for the next stint, and you can see where it's been hit, and there's blood all up the track. And it's nuts. Like, they take cars out of the race.
As if there's not enough to worry about. Then you get kangaroos crossing the track.
Yeah. It's crazy, yeah.
So you're a Red Bull athlete. How long have you been a Red Bull athlete?
Since 2016, when I joined my current team, yeah.
And what would happen to that relationship?
I don't know. We haven't got there yet, but it'd be awesome to have them come over here and get back into NASCAR side of things. And
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, like they had a maybe the timing was a bit different, but they had some success in NASCAR, and yeah, they haven't been here for a couple of years, and hopefully after Chicago that entices them a bit, and maybe next year I'm doing a whole bunch of cool stuff, and yeah, hopefully they come on board. We'll see.
Well, man, I can't wait to find out. I guess so. When you with this potential, opportunity next year, some interest and possible or an agenda to try to get Red Bull to want to be a part of whatever that is. Your win at Chicago and how good you were. Do you feel like the Indy race performance, the end result, is a big part of flipping all of those switches?
I guess it would help. I haven't put pressure on myself to do it. Like, I've prepared hard, and if I go well, naturally, I think it'll help. But yeah, and even the truck race, I don't know. Like, people are obviously going to look at it and see how I go, but
yeah,
you probably can't have that.
Nobody's expecting much.
No, exactly. Right? Exactly.
So I'm just saying, like, to be quite honest, like, whatever happens in the truck race, I'm going to look at that and go, yeah, okay,
yeah,
that is what it is.
Yeah, like, I hope to be competitive this weekend. There's no reason why I'm not. I'm in good car for the cup race and awesome team again, so I just got to put it all together. But results expectations, they're obviously going to be pretty high after Chicago. But
you went and messed that. Yeah. You'll win the race in your first time out.
Yeah, it's hard to go.
You're not easing on better. You're not flying under the radar.
Exactly. So I have no idea. But for sure, it's going to be, people know who you are now. I think half the drivers didn't know who I was. So now I'm sure they'll see those yellow stripes and pick on me.
Yeah. So all the drivers after Chicago got out and just, were really hard on themselves, saying how bad they were, and you're going to go home and tell everybody how sucky all the cup drivers were. Did you get a laugh out of that?
Yeah, I laughed about it, but it's not true, of course. No. Like, that's what I'm used to, those street circuits. And I wasn't the fastest car all day. Like, a couple of them ended up in the fence, but it was pretty cool.
Who impressed you on the track?
Tyler Reddick was very good at the start. Christopher Bell in the wet. Like, we've done a few wet races. We don't race in the wet all the time, but it's pretty relatively new here, I guess, to race in the rain. And those guys were awesome. They were picking the right lines and being patient, and they led each other through, and they just seemed really sharp and switched on with the surroundings. But everyone I got around when I was passing, like, everyone had good awareness, and no one was just doing stupid stuff. It seemed pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, you got Indy Road Course. We'll see some stupid stuff.
Yeah, watching that race last year was crazy. Even the pileup we had at Chicago was nuts. Right. I was cheering. I thought I made 10 spots up, and then they let everyone back through. I didn't know what was happening. Yeah.
That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I thought I got a free kick.
Yeah.
Well,
that is funny.
Well, that was your first introduction into how we govern our sport. And sometimes it's just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. It seemingly seems so. But I'm curious, though, it's interesting. I would take NASCAR fans, and Dale, correct me if I'm wrong, the loyal people that, you have somebody come in from Australia or New Zealand, I'm sorry, and come in and say, win on your first time out. Chase Elliott's like, they're going to think we suck, and everybody. But it feels like you've done something that I wouldn't have predicted, and that is you've won over fans. Like, people generally love that you're back, and we want to see you succeed. Do you get that feeling? Do you see that?
Yeah, and I think that's the way that Trackhouse tells the story of the Project 91 and inviting people to come over, Kimmy, myself, whoever's next for that car, if there's someone else. And the way that it's all put across is done very well. Like, it's been awesome to see that media side of things and the way we told our story leading up to the race. Like, the support we had was awesome, not just from people supporting me in Australia and New Zealand. Like, I had Ford fans saying, we were cheering for you last week, but not this week, when I was back racing. Right. Just the support was awesome. Like, it was pretty humbling to see how many people reached out afterwards and before. It was awesome.
So while the race was going on, I was over in turn 5 at the Chicago race, and Paul's texting me, and he says, everyone in Australia and New Zealand's watching this right now. And he was he was so confident you were going to win. And so when you did go home, right, how many people in Australia and New Zealand are aware of what's going on?
It was ridiculous. Like, not even – I don't get that for a Bathurst win or championship, how much it blew up. Like, it was so cool. I guess we haven't had anyone since Marcus go well over here, and it was cool to be a part of, and just all the people that reached out and, you know, are interested in NASCAR again. They're watching all the races since, and I get people texting me about it. And yeah, it's been cool to see.
There's a ton of pride. Like, you know, when I went over there 20 years ago and all the way through Marcus's experience here, there's a lot of pride in when that if y'all come here or you come here to race that it goes well.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
I guess we just believe in how strong it is, our series there. Like, you're all in your little bubble, we're in our bubble, and, you know, half the drivers in supercars probably don't know the NASCAR guys. Mm-hmm. If they don't watch it, you stick with what you know, and our series is pretty good. Like, the top 10 guys are very good drivers, and they could come here and run a good race, like probably like Brody's going to.
Yep.
So, but, you know, it'd be good to see what NASCAR guys do if they went down to our world and see how they went. It'd be awesome.
Was it that some of Paul's criticism after your race? He was like that the Supercar Series makes that almost impossible for NASCAR racers to be able to come over.
They have some silly super license system, but I think it's gone now. I'm not sure if that was due to Paul.
Went away.
Or helps. Yeah.
Well, that was quick.
An Instagram post. Wow, the power of Paul's Instagram.
There's been a lot about it.
Paul was trying to talk me into coming over and running the support series. What's it called now?
Super 2, yeah.
Yeah, they used to be sponsored series by something else.
I think it's called the Dunlop Series now. Yeah.
But it's basically older supercars.
Yeah, his son runs in it now. And he's
Nash.
He's going well. He's getting better.
How is Nash doing?
He's awesome.
Dude,
he won his last race in the Porsches.
Like, when I was there, Nash was like 5.
Yeah.
And so I've watched him sort of go up through the – like, he didn't want to race or piddle with – he didn't race professionally until just like the last
– He just started again. Yeah. So we go to Norwell, Paul's place, and do laps there.
Yes.
Nash is awesome. Like, when we do the driver coaching and we swap where – we're going 10th for 10th. Like, he's getting better and better.
Yeah.
And he's learning every week. Yeah.
Yeah. I see him. Paul's got him driving something different all the time. He's in Porsches and all kinds of
shit. Best way
to
learn.
Yeah.
He was unreal in the Porsches last week.
Yeah. Good.
He made the highlight reel every race. He won two and spun in the last one.
I heard. He come back to finish second, though.
Yeah. But everyone was watching him. It was cool.
There was a lot of cars in that race.
In the Porsches?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's all levels of drivers in that series, but all the top guys are young kids trying to make it.
Yeah,
it's
like
good
Nash
to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, you think Nash is going to get there?
I think so. Yeah. And Paul's the perfect person to support him and got all the contacts and stuff.
Yep.
If he wants to do it, he'll be able to make it happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I hope all this works out, man. It's been, you know, there's a lot of rumors, a lot of conversation going on in the background, and I know you're trying to figure it out, and you got Justin in, you know, in your corner, and he's, like I said, so ambitious. If anybody can make this work and have us, Marcus Ambrose 2.0, I think he can do it.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have a crack, I think. Yeah.
So when do you go home? Right after Indy?
Yeah, I race next week in Adelaide, so on Monday.
Adelaide's another street course.
No, it's a circuit now. Yeah. The street race is at the end of the year. Yeah.
So there's a street course and a...
Yeah, it's in Tailem Bend. It's like an hour out of Adelaide. Yeah, they built a new track.
Really?
It's very cool.
That.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Have you ever been over to the Thunderdome?
I have, yeah. We do ride days at Calder sometimes.
Yeah,
and,
the road course
I've never, yeah, I've never driven around the oval, though. Yeah,
it's,
I've done a drift event there. But
we used to do a TV show called Lost Speedways, and that would be like the epic episode of Lost Speedways. They have a big oval over there. Yep. You know about it, Mike?
No, but tell me.
So back in the 80s, they built this oval, kind of like Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Okay.
I think it was a copy of it.
Yeah. And they went over there and ran... A couple races. Neil Bonnet won one. I think Dad might have. I don't know if Dad went, but there was a couple, you know, 3 or 4 years there in a row where there was some cup racers that would go over and race. They were buying a bunch of cup cars and were having their own races, right?
Yep.
And that place was – the Oval ran for a long time, several decades.
It's a bit of a ruin now.
It is.
And you fly over it into the airport, you can see it, and it's pretty cool to look at seeing this thing, but it's surrounded by houses now as well.
Oh,
so you could never really bring it back.
Never come
the
back.
The circuit, they still do a lot of drifting and stuff. And
that's interesting.
Drag racing, I think.
But do you still see the configuration of the track?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still there.
So it's just overgrown.
All the grandstands are there. They're all,
oh, wow.
The banking track is still there.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
The Thunderdome. Even a cool name for a track.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's
cool. They had some good racing. And then they used to use, like, their lower series was road cars, and they'd go the other way because they're right-hand drive, you see. So
yeah.
They used to be, the pictures and highlights you see from it look crazy.
Yeah. Where do you live in Australia?
I live in Brisbane. Yeah. Okay. So my team's based there, and most of there's a couple in Brisbane, but most are based in Melbourne. Yeah.
Where do you go to vacation in Australia?
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go home.
I go home as much as I can. Yeah.
Okay, so when I went, we didn't go to New Zealand, right?
Oh,
so
missed,
we went to
you
the
missed
Gold,
out. Yeah.
We went to the Gold Coast. We went to Hamilton Island, I think.
Okay, yeah, I've never been there.
Yeah, we were all up and down the East Coast, Brisbane. And so if I'm going to New Zealand, where do I need to go?
Queenstown. Queenstown's awesome. It's a cool place. Auckland's where I'm from, North Island. There's some cool things, but the views and the lifestyle at Queenstown, it's an awesome place.
Queenstown. Yeah.
Well, it's snowed under there at the moment, and it's epic with the lake.
Their seasons are upside down, like, or basically
your seasons
or
are upside down.
Yeah,
upside
down. Yeah. Yeah. So when it's summer here, it's winter there.
Yeah, come here and it's hot now. Yeah, it's meant to be winter. Yeah,
no, which actually. So, y'all, when does tell me when the season is again for Supercar?
Start of March to December.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we run through the winter basically.
Yeah. So basically, Mike, if we wanted to go to a Supercar race. When our cup season ends, like, there's still one or two races.
Yep.
What's the last couple races of the year?
It's Gold Coast, end of October, and then Adelaide, last week in November.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Adelaide race, it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that would be insane to go to a supercar race.
Yeah.
I love those things.
Yeah. It's time.
It is time.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Time
so here's the deal.
Well, Adelaide might be my last one. You got to come.
I love how a plan comes together. So you'll rent from Dale, and then in return, Dale will go and we'll hang out. We'll go to the supercar race, and then we'll hang out in New Zealand for a week.
Sounds good. Let's do it. Yeah.
Love it. Right? That's how it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got a little box race, we call it, with our friends. We race all in the dirt. It's a week after Adelaide, so
we love box races.
Come and do both.
Tell us more about that.
Oh, it started at my 30th birthday. We wanted something cool to do, so all my mates, we come up with a race that you got to build a car, and there was no spending limits. Got to be front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, and the car's got to stay there after, so you can spend what you want in these cars. And it's a little dirt race, and the first race was just mayhem, and then the last couple we've done, it's a full timing system, 3-hour
race. Cut a track in the field?
Yeah, we put up big hay bales and stuff, and my car had big wings on it and had DRS, moving wings and everything.
Oh, Jesus.
Some of the guys have crazy cars.
These are just your friends or like other people that compete in the series?
No, it's all just my friends over there. So the first one we had 45 cars or something.
And golly.
Yeah, the last couple we've had mid-20s, but a 3-hour race is only 10 running at the end.
So that
it's awesome.
Right, yeah. It sounds a little like the 24 hours of lemons race, right, that we have.
Pretty much,
But you got to leave it there. You can't.
So you can spend what you want, but you got to leave the car there. So I think my car was $800, my last one, so not too bad. But some guys spend crazy money and doesn't go that well. They get picked on.
Do you paint it up?
Yeah, my car's been all painted up like old race cars the last couple. And
sounds amazing.
It's been good fun.
Do you post all this on your social media?
Yeah.
In the past? So check that out?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. But that's a week after Adelaide, I think, if you want to come.
All right. Okay. Adelaide sounds good because then you stay for the race.
I'll build you a car. Yeah.
$800? Are you going to go pour in all your money?
It might be less. I don't want them to beat me.
Yeah. Right. What would anybody say if he came over there and won in his first race ever? What would they say?
Be tough. The competition's tough.
Yeah. I went over there and ran. So when I guess in 06 they were a new Holden was coming out and Paul had built a new one for Russell Engel, and he let me drive the last year's car for the whole day, and I was with Owen, and I put a video up on YouTube. It's been on YouTube forever.
I think I've seen that, the onboard at Queensland Raceway.
I had a lot of fun. He was like, man, let me put some tires on it. He's kept telling me all day long, he's like, I'll put tires on it, put tires on it, you'll run a good lap. I'm like, I don't want to know what I'll run. I was like, I just want to ride around on this oval out stuff.
But what'd you think of the cars?
Very very comfortable. You know, and the tire was I could relate to the tire. The tire to me felt like a bias ply and old. Like if you're going to race a late model stock car or something at a short track here, like a super late model or something like that, it felt like that is a lot of forgiveness, a lot of movement, sliding around, and you know, there's some lateral grip, but you could, you know, it was easy.
You get to the limit pretty easy.
Yeah, I understand the big box as far as forgiveness.
Yeah,
and balance wise, I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. The tough part for me was the shifting,
because
it was still an H pattern.
Oh yeah, it would have been back then.
Yeah, and so it was on the wrong side or on the other side.
And they were very narrow gates then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to be real careful. And there was a couple mistakes I made. I thought for sure I'd blown it up. But there was one time I downshifted too early and then went in the wrong gear or something. It was a mess. But
Those the first year I drove was H pattern, and it was difficult. But it was big skill. Marcus was the best at it. He'd go from sixth to second on a downchange and stuff like that.
Good heavens.
It was awesome to watch those guys. That was a proper skill when it was H pattern.
Yeah. It was a challenge. Well, man, I wish we could talk more. I could sit here and talk to you forever.
Just about the truck race. I know. About dinner. Good heavens. We're going to be watching
I would love to sit down with you right after that and talk about like what you thought about all that.
It's
going to
be difficult. I think there's only 20 minutes practice or something.
Not
one,
a lot.
One lap qualifying and then you're racing. So it's going to be tough.
So when you're doing, I imagine you're getting a little bit of sim work for that, right?
I haven't done any yet for the truck, but hopefully tomorrow I think we'll do a little
bit. Well, listen, I know it's not a manufacturer sim, but if you can even get on iRacing or somebody's rig.
I did that at home, before I come over.
Well, that's helpful too.
Yep.
Because that track on iRacing is really close.
Ah, cool.
In my opinion, grip and all. And so I think that would be helpful to you just to be able to just run anything, right? Get all you can. Have fun. Don't set any – a legend and driver and successful and know all of these things, but man, don't put any pressure on yourself in the truck. At least you know what you got to do in the cup car and know what you can do, but with the truck, man, just learn, have fun, watch them guys use each other up and
hopefully get through it,
learn how it works. Keep the fenders off the tires and keep it on the track. That's all you can do.
Sounds easy, right?
It sounds real easy.
I
don't think it's going to be.
That's a tough place, man. That's a tough place. But I'll be watching. Everybody be tuning in, wishing for the best.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for coming. Yeah, thanks for carving out some time for us. You got a busy week. You ought to be sitting in a simulator right now, and I'm glad you're not. I'm glad you're with us.
We're off there now. So.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. Shane.
Thank you, Shane. Shane Van Gisbergen on the Dale Jr. Download. Man, I'm really excited to have Ally help us bring the guest segment every week. It's one of my favorite parts of the download. We get to talk to so many different people in racing, outside of racing. But everybody that comes in here, I want them to have had a good time. I want them to want to come back. I want them to feel like an ally to Dirty Mo Media. Thank you, Ally, for your continued support of the download and the entire Dirty Mo Media team. Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.